Beautiful men, beautiful music, you know what I mean? Don't get me tickled now. Ephesians chapter 5 this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. The Lord laid on my heart a message on a stronghold, and I began to put this together, forgetting that this is Music Ministry Month. And just seeing how the Lord works in this, I'm preaching to you this morning and probably again tonight. I don't think I'll get through it this morning. I know that's a shock to you, but here's a message that your pastor's not going to get through in one sermon. I preach to you on the stronghold of worldly music. The stronghold of worldly music. I want to pray with you. This is our topical series that we're undergoing right now. Or going through. I don't know if the word undergoing is the right term to use. We have three series going on. We have an Old Testament book, that's the book of Exodus. We have a New Testament book, that's the book of John. We have a topical series, and that is strongholds that the devil tries to get a hold of you and ruin your influence for Jesus Christ. So we're coming back to this series on strongholds. And again, I preach to you on the stronghold of worldly music. Let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you'll help us to be faithful to you. Would you guide us? Would you lead us? Would you direct us as we preach this message? That no doubt is a stronghold in many people's lives today. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you be the teacher. You be the preacher. May nothing be said that is displeasing to you. And may the spirit in which it's given be Christ-honoring, God-honoring. May you deal with us thoroughly. In Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5, notice verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. It's interesting. This is a command of Scripture. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't be controlled with alcohol, but be controlled, be led by the Spirit. It's interesting. The next verse, right after he talks about being filled with the Spirit, he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Interesting that right after he talks about being Spirit-filled, he talks about singing. It's interesting, isn't it? The Word of God says in Psalm 118:14, says, the Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. Psalm 96, verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. That means a different song, not like the old ways, not like the world. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Psalm 144:9, I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It's been reported that there are more than 500 references in the Word of God about music. The Lord created music as a means of praising Him. Therefore, music is important to God Almighty. However, the devil, the world, and the flesh have taken God's gift of music and turned it into something that perverts the minds of people and draws them away from the Lord. One man said, and I quote, music is not only an idol in today's culture, it's an addiction. And it's the primary tool that Satan uses to indoctrinate, control, and manipulate the hearts and minds of the masses. Goes on to say, there's a popular Christian teaching adopted by many that says music does not matter. This thought seems to promote an anything goes mentality and says that God created all kinds of music and God likes all kinds of music. Now I ask you, is that true? Does music really matter? I submit to you that music matters to God. And the devil knows this, so he tries to pervert God's will even in the matter of music. It's been said many popular Christian leaders today assert that God created and likes all kinds of music. Friends, honestly think about it. Does God like all forms of art since He created creativity? Does God approve all forms of verbal and written communication since He created language? Obviously not. Does he approve of everything that man says? Yes or no? No, but he's the one that created language. You see the reasoning here? It's perverted. The perverted thought of it is that God created music, so he just likes it all. It doesn't matter what it is. That is a lie from the devil, my friends. And we need to understand today that God, never in Scripture does God place a universal stamp of approval upon all kinds and types of music. You will not find it. You will not find it. That is a man-made teaching. Now, your music is important. Even your Christian music is important. It is not my it's not my desire here to say that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. It's my desire to shine the Word of God on these things and let the Holy Spirit be your teacher and your guide. You know what I've learned in my life? If you are walking with God and you truly desire to have a walk with Jesus Christ and you want to please Him, you already know if your music is pleasing to God or not. I don't have to convince you of that. But I want to talk to you about this, and I trust that many of you here today say, I don't need this myself. I hope that's the case, but don't lose sight of this because your children need this and your grandchildren need this. And they need to understand not only what the Bible teaches, but why they ought to listen to certain kinds and never listen to other kinds of music. Let me give you several things here. I'm only going to get started here today. First of all, let me show you the power of music. The power of music. Some say that the music they listen to does not affect them. It'd be hard to convince one family of this whose 15-year-old son was listening to a Manson album when he committed suicide by shooting himself. His father was a major Manson fan, and his favorite song, his father says that the boy who killed himself, his son that killed himself, was a major Manson fan, and his favorite song contained calls to commit suicide. One man conducted an experiment in which he timed 72 mice. This is a deep sermon here today. I'm talking about 72 mice now. He conducted an experiment in which he timed 72 mice running through a maze. He divided the mice into three groups and let each mouse run through the maze, establishing an average time of about 10 minutes. So all 72, when they were put in as a group, they took about 10 minutes to get through the maze. He then left one group alone. He played classical music, so to speak, for another group. And then he played hard rock music for the third group. And then he was going to time them again. So he did. The mice that had not listened to any music took about 5 minutes less to run through the maze than they had before. The mice who had listened to the classical music improved their time by 8.5 minutes, while the mice that listened to hard rock music took 3 times as long to complete the maze as they did before. The mice that listened to hard rock music did not sniff the air to find trails from mice that had gone before them as the other mice had did. One man said it was like the mice, it was like the music dulled their senses. It shows point blank that hard rock has a negative effect all around. I can't think of a positive effect that hard rock has. And during this experiment, each mouse was housed in separate aquariums. That's because when this man had previously attempted this before, a similar experiment, he kept the mouse in each group together, and the mice who listened to hard rock and roll killed each other. And you say, Jody, what's that point? It points this. There is nothing good that comes from the devil's music. Nothing. And it has power and influence over your heart and mind. Family Weekly magazine said music is used everywhere to condition the human mind. It can be just as powerful as a drug and much more dangerous because nobody takes musical manipulation seriously. One man wrote in The Psychology of Music, he said, music is the most powerful stimulus known among the perceptive senses. An Italian composer back in the 1860s into the 1940s, said modern music is as dangerous as narcotics. Aristotle said music has a power of forming the character and should therefore be introduced into the education of the young. Cheetah Magazine quoted a musician as saying this, and I quote, "If the establishment knew what today's popular music is saying, not what the words are saying, but what the music itself is saying, they would just turn their thumb down on it, they would ban it, they would smash all the records and arrest anyone who tried to play it." Don't tell me it doesn't have influence. Don't tell me it doesn't have power. One man who is a professional rock musician from the 60s said, and I quote, "We are successful in that we are able to keep the music hard and direct so that it communicates directly with the body. By carefully controlling the sequence of the rhythms, any pop performer can create audience hysteria. We know how to do it." Now you say, Jody, what's this prove? This proves that whether it has lyrics that has Jesus in it or it doesn't, it does not make a difference. Now, I'll amen myself this morning, friends. I'll amen myself. I'm telling you that if you listen to ungodly music, I'm talking about forget the words. I'm talking about the music, the rhythm, the beat, all these kind of sequences. And if you listen to ungodly music, it has power to influence your life. And it is influencing you whether you realize it or not. One man said, and I quote, "The world's music, both secular and Christian, made me edgy in my attitude." This is a preacher, by the way, saying this, who was dealing with this earlier in his life. And he said, "The world's music, both secular and Christian, made me edgy in my attitude, argumentative in my spirit, harsh in my nature, and arrogant in my approach to God." May I say this? Am I talking to some parents of some teenagers or some youngsters whose attitude towards you stinks? Am I talking to somebody whose children at home, or maybe their grandchildren, if you're grandparents, their attitude is argumentative, they're rebellious, they don't want anything to do with it, they don't want anything, they don't want anybody telling them what to do? Mark it down, they are listening to ungodly music. Mark it down. I'm telling you right now, it affects people. It has power. This same preacher said, music always produces a lifestyle. Now, enough with what other people said, because we major on the Word of God here, right? Amen. So let me prove to you from Scripture that music has power. I want you to flip with me, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, you have a king by the name of Saul. Saul is on the throne of the Israelites. He is angry, he is bitter, he is envious, and he is full of rage. When you come to this chapter here, you'll notice that there's an evil spirit that comes upon him. Now, I'm just going to read just about three verses here, three or four verses, and then show you the power of music. Look at 1 Samuel 16, 14. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. Saul's servant said unto him, Behold, now an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on an harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." Look at verse 23. "And it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was what was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him." You say, Jody, what's the point here? Again, in this passage, you see King Saul is struggling with bitterness. He's struggling with envy. He's struggling with anger. He's struggling with rage. It was a spiritual struggle in his heart taking place. And music played a major role in correcting it. One man said, "What more solid biblical proof could we find for the moral value of music? God in his own word shows us an evil spirit, a heart-level spiritual battle against the principalities and powers of Ephesians chapter 6, talking about doing battle with evil spirits, those that you can't see, that they were literally chased away, scared off, departed when the right kind of music was played. On the flip side of this, turn back to Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32, we're approaching that chapter in our Old Testament book study. But when you come to this chapter in Exodus chapter 32, you'll notice that Moses has been up on the mountain communing with God. Joshua is with Moses as his minister. He's not up on the mountain with him, so to speak, but he's accompanied Moses. In the meantime, the Israelites have grown impatient, if you will. So they go to Aaron and they say, I'm paraphrasing, we don't know what's happened to Moses. He's been gone too long. Make us some gods that we can fall down and worship. So many of you remember the story. Aaron, he says, bring the jewelry to me. They put it in a fire. They fashion a golden calf. And the golden calf comes out, and Moses and Joshua are getting ready to come back to the camp. Everybody with me? Are you with me? Notice the language in verse 17. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, question, what are they shouting at? What are they shouting to? The golden calf. They're worshiping a golden calf. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping a golden calf. Verse 17 says that Joshua heard the shout. And he said unto Moses, there's a noise of what? There's a noise of war in the camp. A noise of war? Fighting? Rebellion? Notice what Moses said in verse 18. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. The Israelites had been delivered from Egyptian bondage. Moses is on Mount Sinai with God. Joshua is with Moses on his journey. Aaron left back at the camp. And when Moses didn't return soon enough, the people began to pressure Aaron to make them new gods to worship. They made a golden calf, corrupting themselves. In the middle of this pagan event, we hear music. And one man said they were singing, but their singing sounded like the noise of war. Amazing. And he goes on to say, why didn't the evil spirits of paganism flee this scene? They fleed it in 1 Samuel. But why did the evil spirits of paganism not flee this scene as you saw them flee in Saul's story? Why did David's harp playing facilitate the departure of evil, but the children of Israel's warlike music facilitated the increase of evil? If music is morally neutral, how could it have any impact for good or evil at all? See, the world tries to make you think that music is, it's amoral. It doesn't affect you either way or another. Really? Really? In 1 Samuel 16, the right kind of music calls the evil spirits to get out of Dodge, my friends. Did I just say get out of Dodge? To get out. But here, the warlike music for false idols was encouraging the evil spirits to hang around. Your music does the same for you and me. It either invites evil spirits or it causes them to get away from you. And I wonder which one is your music doing. If your music sounds like war, it's not of God, amen. If it sounds like chaos, war, I don't care if it has Jesus in it 4,000 times. It's not of God, because music matters. And God wants you to see that music has power. It had power to cause evil spirits to get away, but it also had power to invite them to come and stay. There is no middle ground here. There is no one foot in God's camp and one foot in the devil's camp. It does not work that way. It's either pleasing to God or it's not. And is your music pleasing to God? Is it inviting the Holy Spirit or the evil spirits? Now, friends, that's a great question to ask, because your music is inviting one or the other. Secondly, I didn't know if I'd get this far. I'm doing good here, okay? First of all, we've noticed the power of music. Secondly, I want to give you the purpose of music. What is the purpose of music? Why did God create music? What's the purpose of it? Is the purpose of music my entertainment? Is the purpose of music to make me feel good? Is the purpose of music my enjoyment? Now let me say this to you. There's nothing wrong with enjoying good godly music. Nothing wrong. And I'm not going to put myself in a box and say that my style is the only style. I'm not doing that. But I am going to say this. That the music that God created, that God, not man, that God created, has a purpose behind it. What is it? While there's nothing wrong with enjoying it, I hope you enjoy it. My enjoyment is not the primary purpose of music. Listen to these verses and see if you get it, okay? Brother Gary's already told you, but I'm just reemphasizing it. Listen to these verses. Hebrews 2:12. Listen for the purpose of music. Listen to it. Hebrews 2:12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Psalm 59:16 and 17, I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. Psalm 7:17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. 2 Samuel 22:50, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen. I will sing praises unto thy name. Acts 16:25, Paul and Silas at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Judges 5, 1-3. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam on that day. Here was their song. Here's what they sung. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offer themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. Make no mistakes about it. The purpose of music is the praise and glory of God alone. And I've got alone in all capital letters. One man said, and I quote, the aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God. Music has become more about us instead of God. God did not create music for me. He created music for himself. Therefore, it's his standards, his way, because there's only one way to glorify God, and that is God's way, not man's way. It's interesting in some of the contemporary Christian music, there's been statements made similar to this. Make no bones about it. We are out to make money, bar none, period. That's why we do it. Now, contemporary music, that just means it's up to date. Not all contemporary songs are of God, are of the devil, friends. My wife has written music that's today. I mean, but you understand what I mean by contemporary music. I'm talking about letting the world come in, letting the noise of war. Just take the words here, but then add the noise of war, because you have to become like them to reach them. Hogwash. Music is not to reach people. Music's to glorify God, friends. That's its purpose. That's the purpose of it. Let me say this to you. When we really get this point driven into our... By the way, the purpose of music is the purpose of my life too. It's life's purpose. It's the purpose of this church. It's the purpose of my life, your life, the purpose of music. It's not just for music. It's the purpose of all of life. It's to glorify God. It's to praise God. Are you listening to me? If we just let that sink in our hearts, it settles everything else, friends. You'll never again worry about trying to tickle somebody's ears over here because you want them in this church. Let God build this church. Let's praise God, glorify God, go door knocking but to glorify God, read our Bibles to glorify God, listen to music that glorifies God. Let's just obey God to glorify God and let God bring in who He wants. But may this church never become a church that says, well, we're going to have to become like the world to reach the world. Show that to me in the Bible, friends. You're not going to find it. You're not going to find it. I'm saying to you, the purpose is God's glory. One man said, and I quote, as Christians, music does not deserve the throne of our hearts. I've met many Christians, I'm quoting from, this is not me, I'm quoting from somebody else. I've met many Christians who literally choose a church by its musical styles. Get this now. They choose a church by its musical styles rather than its biblical beliefs. There are people who will leave a solid Bible-preaching church and go to another church that preaches fluff just because they like the music in that place. If you can prove that's right to me, I'll eat my Bible. I'm saying to you that music should not have the throne of our hearts. He said, in wrestling with this subject, I've been tempted to cling to my musical taste, my style preferences, as though they were essential to my personal happiness. This mindset is nothing less than idolatry. It was wrong in my heart, this preacher says, and it's wrong in the heart of any Christian. Music in the Bible never held this kind of place in the hearts of God's people. Only the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ had this kind of preeminence in the first century Christianity. Oh, that's a powerful statement. See, a lot of people, I trust nobody here, but a lot of people can take their styles, their preferences, I'm talking about when their style and preference is not of God, okay? There are different styles. There are different preferences that praise God and glorify God. There's not just one, but the fact of the matter is that if it's a style or a preference that does not please God, does not glorify God, that's more like the noise of war and confusion and all the... that style, if that's a preference, if that's what you want and that's what you're looking for, and you're not going to be happy anywhere that preaches the Bible if the music doesn't line up there, God is not sitting on your heart. Music is. Music is. And music can become an idol. We don't want that at Buffalo Ridge. We want God to be on the throne of this church. And we want to praise Him with everything we do. Does your music truly praise and glorify God alone? Or does it praise the entertainment of the one singing it? Do you think, man, he can sing? Or do you leave that song saying, what a God I serve? We all have to guard against this. We all have to be careful with this. Music, fulfilling its God-given purpose, get this now, is sung for the audience of one. Listen to these verses. Psalm 95:1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalm 68:4, sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Psalm 68:32, sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord, Selah. Psalm 47:6-7, sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all earth, sing ye praises with understanding. Psalm 18:49, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." Psalm 13:6, "I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Psalm 104:33, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being." Psalm 105:1 and 2, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all of his wondrous works." Psalm 147, 7, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God." Sing unto the Lord, unto him, unto God, unto his praises, unto his mercies, thanksgiving to him. Get it, friends? True godly music is sung to God. It's not sung to man. It's not sung to entertain. It's not sung for money. It's not sung for this. It's not sung for that. It's sung to God. And I ask you a question. By the way, I'm getting ahead of myself here. This will be tonight, but let me go ahead and mention this. The emphasis in the Word of God is on singing. Sing unto God. Shout his praises. Say thank you to him. If the music drowns out the words, it's not of God. I feel like I'm on eggshells a little bit for some reason. But I don't need to be, because I'm not planted on eggshells. I'm planted on the Word of God. If the music drowns out the words, it's not of God. I want to stop. I'm getting done a few minutes early. Now, don't get excited, because my invitation goes on for 30 minutes. I'm kidding with you. Tonight, I want to give you four major principles for music. Now, there's a lot more than that, but I'm going to give you four major principles tonight to apply to your music. But let me stop right here for this sermon. Unless you want me to go on and give you those four. It's going on 12. I hope you're saying, amen, but your stomach's shouting, "Shut him up, Lord, shut him up," right? Let me simply ask you this question. Is God pleased with your music? Teenagers, are you listening to music that truly glorifies God? Do the words glorify him, and does the music glorify him? Or does the music sound like war? You understand what I'm saying. This is a lesson that's hard for people to respond to, because people just don't want others to think, he must be listening to, well, if other people look at that, then they've got problems elsewhere. You know what I'm saying? But you know in your heart right now whether music is a stronghold. You already know it. I don't have to convince you of it. And all I'm doing is blowing the trumpet. I'm sounding a warning. The devil has taken a beautiful gift that God created, music, and he's perverted it and tried to make you think it's okay and me think it's okay. If it has the sounds of war, it's okay, as long as the words are right. That is anti-scriptural. If in doubt, don't. Is that pleasing to God? I don't know. Then don't listen to it. And get on your face and beg God to show you, is this music truly pleasing to God? I hope you see my heart in this, friends. May I say this to the teenagers and the young singles and even the younger folks? I hope we don't have a senior saint struggling with rock and roll, okay? I can't hardly see a senior saint, you know, headbanging, all this, you know what I'm saying, all these kind of things. But the dear senior saints, listen to me right now. Some of you may have struggled with music earlier in your life. And I want you to know, as your pastor, what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to say, you're headed towards a cliff, young people. And if you don't change that music, you're going to fall off one of these days. And you'll completely destroy your life and ruin your influence for Jesus Christ. You show me a soul winner who's listening to the worldly music. Excuse me. You show me an effective soul winner who's listening to the devil's music. You don't find it. And I want to challenge you. Take the high road. Can we pray for Dr. Clarence Sexton? Laying in a hospital right now. Open heart surgery. 5 bypasses, holes in his heart, and they had to clear them. God's touching him. He's being raised up again. Praise the Lord for that. But I can hear that dear man of God gather the Crown College students when I was in school there and say, young people, don't just choose the good over the bad. Anybody can do that. Choose the best over the good and always choose the best. Take the high road. That applies to music. Take the high road. You say, I don't like it. It's not about you. It's about God. Why don't we get on our face and say, God, you know me. I don't know if I like this or not. Now again, please understand, I'm not trying to put you in a box and only that style. That no, let the Holy Spirit guide you in the truth. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Walk with God. Get as close to God as you possibly can, and God will show you, I like that. I like that. I like that. But on the flip side, He'll prick your heart and say, mm-mm, not that one. Mm-mm, not that one. What's the secret? Get close to God. Let God be your teacher. And may we say, away with the noise of war. Welcome music the way God created it to be. Because I want to please you, I want to glorify you, and I want the evil spirits to stay away from me. Do you not want the evil spirits to stay away from you? Can I get an amen there, friends? Your music has a lot to say about that. Not the only thing, but your music has a lot to say about it. I'd like to ask you to bow your head with me, close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll pick up with this thought tonight as I give you principles to follow for music. Have me today say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I know I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt in my heart, no doubt in my mind. I am born again. I'm blood washed. I have trusted Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Have you know that you are a born again child of God? Would you raise your hand? You know that. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. As they begin just to play through softly, just as softly as you can. Is there one here today that says, Jody, I do not know that in my life. I am not sure that I'm going to heaven. I am not sure that I'm a Christian. But inside my heart right now, I have a desire to go to heaven. I don't know I'm going, but I want to. I'd like to know more about Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to come to your seat, not going to call you out. But if you say, Jody, pray for me, I'm not a believer, I'm not a Christian. Or maybe you just doubt and you want to find out more about it. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I need to be sure I'm a Christian. I want to thank you. You can put your hand down. Somebody else. Somebody else. You say, pray for me. Pray for me. If you raise your hand to that question, we're going to have an invitation here momentarily. We'll have ladies with ladies and men with men. And I want to encourage you to come. Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may the Lord help us with this. How many today say, Jody, I'm going to be honest. This stronghold is something that I deal with. Now, I'm not asking what kind of music you listen to. That's none of my business. What I'm asking is, Is the Holy Spirit speaking to you right now? Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. But this stronghold of music, if I'm not careful, can grab a hold of me. And I see that my music needs to be pleasing to God, sung to Him alone, with His glory and honor as its goal. And you say, God is speaking to me, as me personally. I'm talking to you personally. And you say, pray for me that the Lord will give me strength in this. Be an honest person. Teenagers, young people, put your hand in the air with mine. Would you do that? Other people, you say, pray for me. Pray for me. Yes. God bless you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. That's several of you. Let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I'm not necessarily struggling with this myself, but boy, I have somebody I dearly love who is. It could be a child. It could be a grandchild. It could be just somebody that means a lot to you. And you say, Jody, I don't necessarily have this as a stronghold in my life, but I sure know somebody who does. Have you know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. Boy, that's a lot of you there. God bless you. I want to challenge you. You can put your hands down. I want to challenge you to get a copy of these messages from this morning and tonight, and in love, go to them and ask them to really pray about listening to it with an open heart. The devil's going to try to use music to take them out, take them down. Don't let it happen to you. I'm going to have Brother Gary just to begin to sing. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to come and be saved, you come. If you want to come and talk about your music to God, or you want to talk about somebody else's music to God, if you want to bring somebody else to the altar and say, God, help them with their music, as Brother Gary sings, would you do that? Come now. Would you do that, please? Come on.
You have longed.
There's time for you
for
if you need to come. Let us take a Bible and share with you
and
the gospel.
For faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid.
Oh, bring Miss Charlotte up to
is
you.
Okay.
We're so glad to have you come to the Lord. This is what you're going to be.
Your heart does the Spirit control. You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Let me give you something here. You can look this way. We challenge you with something here, and then we've got a few who's coming to join the church and dealing with one over here. Praise the Lord. A long time ago, probably several years now, I received a package here at the church. It's got a bow on it. I've kept this. When I open it up, Brother Gary, you can see this. There's all these music CDs that have been broken, smashed, and turned in as a testimony that God was working in this family. And they went home and took all this money and smashed it and got rid of it. You cannot flirt with this. You must attack it. And going into the night a little bit, you must remove the bad and replace it with the good. If you remove only, there's a void you must replace. And may the Lord help us with this. I'm not saying go home, smash your music, and send it to me. That's not what I'm saying. But it'd be good for some to go home and clear out their music shelves and say, God, unto thee and thee only, Lord, and get rid of it. You say, how? In a garage sale? No. If it's bad for you, it's bad for them. Get rid of it. You say, you don't know. Listen, I told you my invitations go long. I can't stand to let you go out early. I'm kidding with you. Some people think, I've spent all that money on that. Don't you think God can repay that? Get rid of it. This is Joe Sherry. Joe, if you'll stand so the people in the balcony can see you in the back row there. Joe's been coming for a while. He's been an intern for 6 months, praying about what the Lord would have him to do, but he knows God has him firmly settled here for right now. And we're thrilled about that, honestly. God's going to use you in a great way. Danny, one of your workers right there. He's got a burden for inner city kids. Amen, Joe? We want to help you with that. Get into downtown John City, downtown. I know it's not New York City, but there's inner city kids there. They need Jesus. He's coming today to join the church. He has received, he's read, he understands, and agrees to submit to the bylaws. And we appreciate that. I'm going to have Mr. and Mrs. Daniel McNeely stand, Daniel and Heather. What a precious family. These three precious boys. Daniel and Heather have moved back into the area. They've been praying, seeking the Lord. We've met with them, had a great meeting with them. Excited about the future here, and I believe they are too. And they believe, after praying and seeking the Lord, that the Lord would have them to become members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church as well. They are coming by letter from a church of like faith. They've been saved and immersed. All of these have. Joe's coming by statement, and Daniel and Heather are coming by letter. And they have also signed saying that they've received, read, understand, and agree to submit to the bylaws of Buffalo Ridge. And we're so thrilled that these precious people feel that this is the Lord's will. Could I get a motion that we receive them upon their statement, upon a transfer of letter? Brother Charlie, Brother Steve McNeely, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So carry. We've got a special bag for you right in here. Welcome to the membership of Buffalo Ridge. Get in and help us reach people for the cause of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here. I want you to stay right there. Folks want to come by and greet you. Let's pray together. Be back tonight, 5:30 for the Mexico report in the blue room. And 6:30, we'll be right in here proceeding with this thought. Ice cream social tonight. Bring the ice cream, and we'll have a good time together. I'm going to ask, he's already prayed, but I'm going to have him pray again. We'll have Brother Danny Wakefield, if you wouldn't mind, to lead us in a word of prayer, and you're dismissed. Thank you. After this prayer.